Blog Talk Radio.
that when I had it, I felt alive. But now that the thrill is gone, I feel dead inside. I feel like everyone know the secrets I wanna hide. And every time they ask me how I'm doing, I just say I'm fine. Too embarrassed to share it, or maybe too much pride. I create my own prison, holding the keys inside. Punishing myself for all of these crimes. And I'm trying to convince God that I'm not a waste of his time. What's wrong with me? Am I defective? I keep on making a mess. Why can't I ever get it together? Soon people gon' find out I'm not what they expected. They see who I really am, then I end up rejected. I try to stand tall, but these knees are collapsing. Instead of asking for help, these apps are distracting. So lonely, but so many people are friending me while I post. I hope one day to be happy as I pretend to be.
You play circles around my head while I sit on the edge of my bed.
I was 13 the first time my mama caught me watching porn. She started screaming, she couldn't believe her last born was dabbling in something so destructive. I wish I could have said it was my last time, but nah, I wasn't. And the more I thought about it, the more I got bothered. These women I'm objectifying are somebody's daughters. I never really thought I had a problem till it followed me to college, and I felt debilitated by his bondage. Became a Christian, heard about God's power. Couldn't see it in my life, but I could tell you all about it. Overloaded with knowledge, making so little progress. Became a public figure, but my struggles weren't private. Only started tasting freedom when I'm being honest. And I learned that when I'm weak is when I'm seeing God the strongest. I know some people gonna be quick to throw stones, but I take all of those hits so you know that you're not alone. And after 28 years of life, I decided everybody's crooked, so I'm just doing a better job at hiding it. Oh, how good does freedom taste? I hope they give me the forgiveness they gonna need one day, I pray.
Jesus, it washes away all of my sins. Washes away all my sins. Jesus washes away all of my sins. Jesus, he washes away all of my sins. Washes away all my sins. Jesus washes away all of my sins. Jesus, he washes away all of my sins.
far away. She spent all her days content with only his words. She often walks alone. Never is she lonely. And you can offer her anything. Her affections are all for him only.
Coming to your red sky, the place where I belong. Hide me in your shadow, there's nothing more I want. Your grace is all around me, falling like the rain. Lead me to the quiet, be my hiding place. All of my heart, take my life.
Thank you. Sometimes I get the feeling I would like to have a brand new start. I would want to talk to you about how to have a brand new start. I guess everybody at one time or the other has had the desire to just begin again. I guess we have a lot of men and ladies here today, and you look at your career. You look back at things you would like to have done a different way. Maybe sometimes you have wished when it comes to your career you would make a brand new start. There are probably some of you, husbands and wives, and you look at your marriage and the mistakes you have made. You look back on your marriage and you say, it would really be wonderful if I could go back to the wedding day and from that day just start all over again and have a brand new start. That's what I want to talk to you about today. How it is possible for a person to begin again, how a person can have a brand new start. I want us to listen in our conversation which the Lord Jesus Christ had one night with a man named Nicodemus. The Bible tells us a few things about Nicodemus. It tells us that he was a Pharisee and he was a ruler of the Jews. We know from this and from other sources that Nicodemus was at least three things. We know that he was a high roller, he was a very wealthy individual, and there was a word that he was one of three richest men in all the city of Jerusalem. In fact, tradition says that Nicodemus was a scientist in the city who devised the water system for the city of Jerusalem. It was also high profile. He was recognizable in the community. I have a feeling that he was often in the daily newspaper, probably showed up quite a bit in the evening television news. He was a man who was seen and noticed everywhere. A little fellow said to me this evening, "Where's Tony Baselli sitting?" I said, "Anywhere he wants to, son." There are advantages and there are also disadvantages of being high profile, but Nicodemus was a high profile individual. He was also high church. He was a very religious man. On Sunday morning, you could always see him getting his family together. They would roll up in the parking lot of the church. They would come in and his family together. We know several things about this man, Nicodemus. This man, Nicodemus, came to the Lord Jesus Christ one night, and the Bible says he was very complimentary to the Lord. He starts off with a title of respect. He says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher who come from God." He recognizes the fact that he was no ordinary teacher, but he was a teacher who had been sent by God, he said. Nobody can do the miracles that thou dost except God be with him. He realized that what Jesus was doing was not some hocus pocus, but it was a real thing. Actual miracles were occurring. These miracles had to have their source in God. So he comes to the Lord Jesus. He's very complimentary to him. And what Jesus says in response to him is absolutely breathtaking. Jesus looks at this kind of a man and says to him, "Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. Does that sound familiar to you? It's a phrase that's used a great deal in our day. A Gallup poll says that one out of every three people in America says they have had an experience with Jesus Christ as being born again. Several years ago, when President Reagan was in the White House, Rosemary and I had the opportunity to go there for a state dinner. As we were sitting around the table that night, there was a lady from New York City. She looked over at me and said, "Did I hear them say that you are a Baptist preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "I am so glad because your Baptist talked about being born again. I've always wondered what that meant." It gave me a wonderful opportunity to explain to her what it means to be born again. So what do we mean when we talk about being born again? Some think that it means that you just try to do better, that you turn over a new leaf, that you kind of reform yourself just a little. Reformation is not what Jesus is talking about here. Reformation is putting a new suit on a man. Being born again is getting a new man in the suit. It's something that takes place on the inside that changes the outside. Other people get the idea that when Jesus talked about being born again, he was talking about something like reincarnation. There are some people who believe in reincarnation. They believe that when you die, you will come back as an insect or as an animal. If you behave yourself pretty good in a few thousand years, you might get to come back as another person. Jesus is not talking about some kind of reincarnation, some cycle of life. Jesus is talking about an experience that makes it possible for you to go to heaven when you die, to be a member of the family of God and get a brand new start in your life. I'm interested in that kind of information. I have a feeling that there are literally hundreds of you in this service today, and if you really could be convinced in this service that you could have a brand new start in life, you would really like to have that experience. That's what Jesus is talking about as we listen in on the conversation, and as he talks about being born again, the Lord Jesus talks in terms of must be born again. In verse 7, Jesus used the word must. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Why did Jesus say it's absolutely essential that ye be born again? Why did Jesus say ye must be born again? Let's take another look at Nicodemus. It's hard for us to imagine that any man like Nicodemus would need anything. Here's a man who has it all as far as the world is concerned. Yet Jesus kind of a man, Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. I think the reason Jesus said that is because mere riches are not the things that really make it possible for you to go to heaven. You may be a very wealthy individual, you may have a six-figure salary, but Jesus said, you must be born again. You may live in a house so big you need a golf cart to get around, but Jesus said, you must be born again. You may buy all your clothes in exclusive shops, and yet Jesus says, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There is a high rise in hell full of rich sinners who needed to have been born again. High profile won't get you into heaven either. Here was a man who was well known. In fact, I have a feeling that when Brother Nicodemus showed up at the place, his mothers would have pointed him out and say to the little children, "Look there, there's Brother Nicodemus. He's big time in this town. Celebrity, athletic status, political notoriety, whatever it may be. None of it really accounts when you come to spiritual matters because Jesus said everybody must be born again." So what about his religion? He was a religious man. Won't that do the job? Won't that get you to heaven? Nicodemus was a preacher. If you want to check it carefully, he was a preacher, and yet to a preacher, Jesus said, "You must be born again." I heard about a young man who had just been saved. He was all fired up telling other people how they could be saved. He was looking for someone to witness to, and there sat a man in the park bench who looked rather forlorn and sad. He walked up to him and said, "Sir, have you ever been saved?" The man looked up with a surprised look and said, "Son, do you see the church right across the street? I'm the pastor of that church." The young fellow said, "Oh, sir, don't let that keep you from being saved. Anybody can be born again. Do you think the fact that I'm a preacher means I'm going to get into heaven? Do you think the fact that you are a member of First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida, or any other church anywhere else, you're going to get into heaven? You might have been baptized in your baptistry, but do you think that's going to get to cut any ice with the Lord? The Bible says it is not church membership that punches your ticket. It's not being baptized that gets the job done. Jesus said you have to be born again. So why did Jesus say that? The reason is found in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That verse teaches that all of us are born with a sin nature. Nobody has to teach you to do wrong. You come into the world knowing how to do it. You don't take your children over to the schoolhouse and say, "All right, teacher, I brought my kid over here, teaching them how to tell white lies, teach them how to lose their temper." We all come into the world knowing how to do wrong. The Bible says we are sinners by nature. The reason we need to be born again, born the second time, is because we were born wrong the first time. We are sinners by nature. We have a simple nature. So Jesus said, ye must be born again. It's because of our natural condition. I think Jesus said you have to be born again because of the nature of heaven. Jesus said if you aren't born again, you can't even see, much less enter the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You wouldn't fit in if you went to heaven apart from being born again. You have to have a change in nature. You have to have something happen that makes you heavenly in nature. You can't get into heaven until, first of all, heaven has gotten into you. It has to be a change of nature. One old wag said to her pastor, "Preacher, what's bothering me is when I get to heaven, how am I going to get my robe on over my wings?" He looked at her, knowing she was a troublemaker, and said, "Sister, what's puzzling me is how are you going to get your hat on over your horns? If you have to have a change of nature, you'll never see a fish flying in the air. You'll never see birds swimming in the water. It's contrary to their nature. You'll never see a pig lecturing on astronomy. It's contrary to its nature. You'll never see a team of monkeys singing the Hallelujah chorus. It's contrary to their nature." So Jesus said you must be born again. It's not optional. It's not a hint. It's not a suggestion. It's an absolute necessity. So have you been born again? Have you had the experience in your life where you realized that you were a sinner and invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life? By faith, have you asked Jesus to come in? If you have, the Bible says you have been born again. But if you have not had the experience, you have not been born again, Jesus said. You must be born again. By that time, there was a puzzled look on Nicodemus' face. He was scratching his head. The first word that pops out of his mouth is found in verse 4, where he says to Jesus, "How?" I think he was thrilled at the possibility. I think he realized the need. I think there were many of you in the very thought of a brand new start. The very thought of having a brand new life is appealing to you. But you are now raising the question, how? Like Nicodemus did. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus knows he is in the presence of a mystery. Of course, we're in the presence of a mystery. When we talk about being born again, we're talking about eternal things. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about God things. We're talking about things that have to do with God and eternal life. One of the illustrations he uses is that being born again is like a physical birth. That's what he's talking about in verse 5 and 6, where he says, "You have been born of water and of spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, spiritual birth." I think he's saying that being born again is like a physical birth. A physical birth produces life. When a little baby is born, then life is born. Golf balls are not born. They are manufactured. They don't have life. But little babies are born and they have life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When you come to the Lord and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You receive a spiritual life. You are now in the family of God. Birth produces life. Birth is something that happens only one time. It's never repeated. I was talking to a man a number of years ago, and I asked him if he had been saved. He said, "Oh, preacher, have I been saved? I have been saved a lot of times, almost 100 times. I am jammed up and jelly tight. I never heard it put that way." But he missed it, didn't he? Jesus didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. When the census takers come by your house, they don't say to you, "Now, how many times have you been born?" They say, "What's the date of your birth?" Has there been that definite time in your life when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? It is an experience that happens once, and it is never again repeated. So something else about being born. Okay? When you're born, you don't have any past. You only have a future. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Would you like to be able to have an experience today so that all of your past could be forgiven, never held against you anymore? Wouldn't you like to have a brand new sheet in the paper of life? Wouldn't you like to have a brand new start on the racetrack of life? Wouldn't you like to have a brand new opportunity up at bat? Wouldn't you like beginning again, a brand new start? Well, Jesus said it could happen to you. Just like birth, you can be born again, and you will have no past, only future. So, something else about birth. When birth occurs, someone has to suffer. All of us in this building today are here because we had a mother who was willing to suffer. When you were born physically, your mother walked through the very valley of the shadow of death in order to give you the physical life and the existence in which you have right now. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary, and on that cross, Jesus Christ died. When Jesus died and suffered like he did, he was paying the price once for all our sins, that we might be born again. It's like the birth. So notice in verse 8, Jesus talks about being born again in terms of the wind blowing. About that time, I have a feeling it was night, and being familiar with oriental temperatures, I can almost feel it myself. About the time, Nicodemus could feel the warm oriental breeze as it was blowing across his face. He could hear that Jerusalem wind as it was hopping and skipping down the narrow streets of Jerusalem. It's as if Jesus in verse 8 said, "Nicodemus, do you hear that wind blowing? Do you feel that breeze on your cheeks? Being born again is just like the wind. There's a mystery to the wind. We don't understand a lot about it. We have meteorologists, weather people who try to help us as a little. Did you hear about the weatherman, by the way? He left town for health reasons. The weather didn't agree with him. There's a lot of guys like that. They do their best, but it's hard to predict the wind. I heard about a guy standing in the corner one day with a rope. Somebody came up to him and said, 'What do you have there?' He said, 'This is a weather gauge. When it's swinging, the wind is blowing. When it's wet, it's raining. That's about all we can do to predict the weather.' Jesus said, 'That is exactly what it means to be born again. It's like the breeze. You can see the breeze. You can't tie a rope to the breeze. You can't catch the breeze in the basket. You can't lock up the breeze in the cell. But you can see the effects and the results of the breeze. When a storm blows through the wind, trees are uprooted and signs are torn down and cars are toppled, you can see the powerful effects of the wind. That is exactly the way it is with being born again. When a person is born again, you see the change in your life. It starts on the inside, but it gets to the outside. This being born again can take all the hate out of your heart and put love there. It can take all their arrogance and haughtiness out of your heart and put humility there. It can take all that lie-telling out of your heart and put truth-telling there. It can fill that empty hole in your heart. It can take the hurt out of your heart. It's a mystery, but something God does in your heart and in your life. Don't let the mystery out of it cause you to miss it. I don't understand electricity. I don't know how it is that through an electrical current, through wires, allegedly comes into this building and causes these lights to illuminate as they do. I know what the theories are, but we don't understand electricity. We don't know why it goes this way in the wire instead of that way. But I'm glad we have electricity. I'm glad we have lights. I try to keep my thumb out of any sockets. I believe in electricity. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and produce yellow butter and white milk. But I like butter and I drink milk. Just because you can't understand it doesn't mean it's not real. You don't have to understand it in order to experience and enjoy it. So by the time Nicodemus is really interested in the fact that he is so interested in verse 9, he asks a second time, how? How can these things be? He's wanting to know, how can this happen to me? How can I have a brand new start? How can this experience be mine? Jesus begins to tell him about the means of it, how a person can be born again. In verse 13, he says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up. So notice the word must again. He used the word must to Nicodemus. He must be born again. Now he says that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He is saying, in order for you and me to be born again, there's something I have to do. You know what that is, don't you? Jesus had to be lifted up on the cross. When Jesus was lifted up on that cross, the Bible says the Lord laid on him all the iniquity of all of us. The Bible says in that moment God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus has already done his part. He's already died for all of your sin. And every bad thing you've ever done, and every ugly word you've ever said, and every evil thought you ever had, or every bad thing you've ever done or ever will do, Jesus died for all of that on the cross of Calvary. That's his part. Now he talks about your part. He says in verse 15, whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is saying, I have done my part. Now your part is just simply to believe in him. Believe in the Savior and you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. It's just as simple as taking a gift. I look around here and see all these young people, okay? And I see this young lady on the end. This is Rachel. Rachel, would you like to have this $5 bill? Rachel, could you use $5? She's wondering about this. Is it for true? Rachel, if you want it, you can have it. Oh, yes, she got it. And all she had to do to get it was what? Take it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I've got eternal life for you. I'm going to give you something, eternal life. All you have to do is what? Reach out and take it. Amen. So some of you have this evening in your heart is beating a funeral march to the grave. In fact, the truth of the matter is that all of your hearts are beating a funeral march to the grave. I'm not much of a mathematician, so you mathematicians can correct me after the service. I got to thinking if your heart beat an average of 50 beats per minute, you would be in pretty good shape if it did that. If your heart beat 50 times per minute for 50 years, I think I'm correct in saying that your heart would have beaten over 13 billion times. Have you ever thought about it, how often your heart beats? It beats and beats and beats, over 13 billion times. It's beating and beating and beating. The heart of yours is moving forward. It's moving you to rapidly towards the future. So one of these days it will be the last time, and all that will matter then is, have you been born again? What did you do with Jesus? Without further ado, I'm going to give an invitation. For anyone out there that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will have a chance to do so in just a moment. But let me ask you, Are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way to go? Which way is up or down? Maybe you lack purpose in life. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, something such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, gambling, overeating, sexual morality. Okay? The Lord can take it away, but in order to do so, He's got to know you. If He doesn't know you, He can't do anything for you. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus today? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to His word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves a license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name. Okay, so we can pray for you. And you can do that by calling in at area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, wait a minute. If you said this prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay, and right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Amen, my brother. Amen. Well, I'm going to play some music here. Okay. Here we go.
From the Latin and Greek root, meaning a pattern of thinking, a cultural design of mind, a prism, refracting the light of your reality, or a prison, confining your thoughts and fantasies. Are you thinking your thoughts, or are your thoughts thinking you? Chill out, tune in, feel if anything rings true. We're gonna drop some verbal oxygen on you, allow you to choose red or blue. It's really up to you. Tell me, black people, who feeds you? Who makes your clothes? Who fakes your fingernails and paints your toes? Who really owns your home? Where is our community? Society's got our children desiring guns and sirens. Rites of passage slowly dying. You can hear the tree roots crying when it gets real quiet. But rarely do we dwell within the silence. How can we, with all the gratuitous sex and violence, religion and television, promoting anti-nutrition and fake immune syndromes. The time has come to replace indecision with innovation, reclaim what's ours and change the rhythm. Instead of 40 acres and a mule, we got a 40-ounce in a tool. We became niggas with attitudes, with license to act a fool. This is the album that'll shift your paradigm. Have you living another way in another time? Get you off the coke, dope, and ghetto wine. Start living in black and you'll shine. Yo, this is the album that'll shift your paradigm. Like Public Enemy in the summer of 89. Get to know thyself in the spiritual mind. Start living in black and you'll shine. Yo, this is the album that'll shift your paradigm. Make a change what you eat and take care of your shrine. Start cleansing your body and have a clear mind. Start living in black and you'll shine. This is the album that'll shift your paradigm. Have your people in our who's black and who's lying. Have your people in our who's faking and who's really trying. If you're living in black, you'll be shining. These chocolate-covered crackers politicking on our behalf really make me laugh. But no wild buffoonish comic view type actor. Cause like DET, this ain't no laughing matter. Carefully selected, non-elected, morally bankrupt, corrupt black leaders holding their hands out like cups, begging the overseers to feed us, lobbying for some reparations. You really want to help us repair our situation? Help us get these silly niggas off the radio and TV stations. Help us get the children out the public food system so we can handle their education. Teach them skills to survive and create smarter generations, like how to till soil and cultivate vegetation, or how to reprogram computers to create their own animation. Instead of training for JOBs on the next man's plantation, see, we were better off in segregation. At least then we practiced cooperation in black economics. We used to actually talk to one another until they labeled it ebonics. From the penthouse to the projects, we seem to suffer the same ills. We eat whatever they feed us, get sick and take their pills. We used to own our own businesses, now we just get jobs and chill. We become slaves to what we see, hear, and feel. Spreading hard-earned skrilla on shiny jewels and fancy wheels. See them twist and change, we desire them still. But it ain't too late to redirect that energy. It ain't too late to recognize a true enemy. It ain't too late for a poet and MC to remind us we got to get rough in order to get free. No longer a slave to Viacom, but a wretched firearm to spit the truth throughout the youth. When's the last time we turned lead to gold? The message's still here, but the story's untold. So now, who's gonna change the schools, change the books? Open your eyes and recognize the real crooks that burnt our books and wrote their own interpretation.
Time for the prophetic word of the day. The Father says today, the time is now, and now is all I must give you, my beloved. The vision I have planted in your heart and encoded deep within you will bear fruit. Your dreams will not die on the vine or wither away to nothing. Others may look at your vision and not see what you see, but know this, where I put a window, a vision, I also put a door. Know this as well, that everyone who says they are with you will not be there when I bring my promise to pass in your life. Be willing to go it alone when necessary. This is the eye of the needle all those must go through. If they want to step out of the imagined outcomes and never materialize into a broader vision that becomes concrete substance and answered prayer. Be willing, as Abraham did, to leave Lot behind in order to further realize my promise in your situation. Do not swerve or look behind you in this path. This is the important time that you must put your hand to the plow and not look back. Don't look back to the things that were behind you, for but they are cyclical and repetitive. It's time to strike out into a place where you say, that will be enough of that. Refuse to carry the guilt of others' failure to move on in my kingdom. Forgive, release, and move on, leaving all my capable hands, for I will answer in due time. Promotion time is not an end for you. What you see as daunting load of care or responsibility, know this, the Father says, this too will pass. There is a higher call, a higher profile, an invisibility that I'm moving you into. And I want you to know to begin to pray into that and press into greater understanding of what it looks like, for it will surely come, says the Father. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Amen, my brother. Amen, my brother Casa. Yes, okay? Okay, sometimes we don't know how much we need God. Okay, we have to hear it. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you all have enjoyed today's service. Okay? I want to say bless you all. May God keep you highly favored, and we'll be back Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. We hope to see you then, so God bless, have a wonderful night, until we meet again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.